Blog Talk Radio.
Has your soul been longing for a greater revelation of God and His Word as you study, teach, and pray? Have you noticed an unexplained desire lately to learn more about the Jewishness of the Gospel? Well, get ready, because this desire will be set on fire as you begin to dig deeper into the study of the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. The Lord has ignited Rabbi Hana Josue with a passion for prayer. It's in our mandate to raise a kingdom of intercessors.
Bless all you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with His commandment and command us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Amen.
Good evening. We welcome you to Dr. Hana Josue's roundtable for Sweep Your Brain. We want to say welcome, 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 everybody. We're so excited to have you here both in the house with us and online. Give yourselves a hand for making it. Well, we have so much going on, but let me take care of business first. The first thing we want to let you know is that we have the Sweep Your Brain and Detox Your Life. The next course is coming up on July the 25th at 11 a.m. Now, it's going to be located at 1515 North I-35 East in DeSoto, Texas. We want to see you in the place. And just in case you haven't had the opportunity to get all of the previous courses, please reach out to Dr. Hana Josue on her Facebook page or reach out to us via email at houseofstudy@josueenterprises.com. We'll be more than happy to take care of you and make sure you have all of the previous courses because we want you caught up with us. Now, call your friends, email them, I'm them, tweet them, two-way them, and let them know, get on the blog show right now. Dr. Hana Josue, it is a pleasure to have you in the house one more time. Let's see what is on our table for the food of thought today.
Well, I am excited for another this table discussion. I'm still kind of, I won't say drunk, feeding off of last week's discussion on speaking about the things that affect our health, and we were talking about disobedience. And I'm grateful that, I want to say, Dr. Pastor Gloria Thomas is joining us again. I am so grateful for you. Last week we talked about everybody making a list of things that we did not obey that may be causing some sickness in your life. Anybody follow that instruction? Did you make a list? You're shaking your head, Deacon Johnny. You made the list of all the things that you didn't obey that God had instructed you to do. Go ahead, share something with us.
Well, what I've actually done, I did make my list, so that's my first step of obedience. Disobedience. So I didn't make my list, but I thought on those things that I did do, and I can mention some of those now.
If you're able to mention them in the air, if it's too personal, you don't have to.
Okay. One of those things is actually with my attitude, not being offensive so bad. That was one of the things that I was told a while back, that I have to stop being on the offensive side. And I can tell that has triggered some things in me, you know, some things in me, particularly health-wise, because I've done it for so long. So I'm trying to combat that as well, and as well just being obedient, period, such as different things like, you know, take your apple cider vinegar. So to me, one of the main things is just the great things of obedience that leads down to the small foxes that you talked about on last week.
Very good, very good. How about you, Linda? Did you do anything different from last week as far as being obedient so you could be more healthy? Have you changed anything from last week to this week?
Well, actually, I have.
Great.
Well, I've been plagued with this chronic cough, right?
Yes.
And I've gone to the doctor for it. They've given me medication for something that I don't have, like asthma and all that. So I'm like, you know, I decided I'm not going to take the medicine anymore. Rabbi said, you know, do the vinegar, apple cider, do it daily, do it twice a day now for you. So actually, I wasn't doing it. I do it whenever I thought about it. So now I've started.
And you
doing
kept
it.
Coughing.
Right on. I kept coughing. You know, it just would not go away. So anyway, I started doing it every day, and twice a day when I would think of it. But at least I'm doing it on a daily basis, along with honey.
Good.
And I haven't been coughing.
That's beautiful.
So I stopped taking the medication. I started doing the vinegar regimen on a daily basis, and like Johnny, I did not write all this stuff down, but I did think about it. So
good.
I made a conscious effort,
good.
You know, to think about those things, and that's just only one of many,
good.
That I need to do,
good.
And to start doing.
Good. So what you did, you went from not listening to the instructions to being consistent in listening to the instruction. Because what we do, somebody give us an instruction and we act like it don't work. You know, well, I keep coughing. And I'm like, well, the first question when I saw you coughing, have you been taking it? And your answer was like, yes. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. And the next question would be, have you been taking it consistently as I've directed you to do? And the answer was no. And so you went from obeying the instruction in the way it was giving, and you saw the result. And that's what we were talking about.
And then the other thing, too, is, unfortunately, and this is what I work on, if I can find a loophole or something else, if you answer that question, I'm going to answer that question, you know, without giving anything else.
Uh-huh.
And, but if I can find just a little something in that that you've asked me,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make my answer better or
uh-huh.
right or whatever,
uh-huh.
then that's what I've been doing, and I've done that all my life.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, the Bible says that your conversation be yay, yay, nay, you know, nay, nay. So I'm just going to give you a short and sweet answer on something. But I've learned now that, you know, that's wrong. Because technically and basically what I'm doing is I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being a bit deceptive in, you know, my response or what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got to close that hole. I can't wiggle my way into it. I've got to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, you know.
Yes. With your hubby?
And, you know, practically anybody that I encounter.
Well, you didn't ask me that. You asked me this.
Exactly. That's not the question you asked me. That has been my attitude.
Yes.
So I'm working on that, you know.
I'm so glad. I'm glad you said that, because I'm sure there's a lot of, especially believers, that's suffering from that, especially if you're in church, you use the scripture to find loophole to say, well, I'm doing exactly what the scripture said. Well, the scripture said some other stuff that you're not doing. And what we're doing, we're looking good in front of the person by answering properly, but behind the scene, you're killing yourself.
Okay.
It's a slow death. Lying is a slow death. When the Lord said that a liar shall not tarry, it means that it's not like, oh, get out my sight. You're unable to be in my presence when you are in lying, because that's not where I am. So that's what that means. That means you're not, every time we'll lie, we skipped his presence and went to another place. I'm not in lies, because it's impossible for me to be in lies, because if I step into lies, it becomes the truth. So you won't be in my face, in my presence. You won't be before me. Right? If we lie. So we're killing ourselves slowly by finding those loopholes, and it's all about that integrity. So I do it even if I feel it and I know I'm lying and I'm trying to, I make myself tell the whole thing even if I get in trouble, because I'm not going to kill myself and walk away with it. Let's say a blood vessel just burst or a nerve just went quick. You know, I don't want nothing to happen secretly where it's affect me later, just because I wanted to be right in front of you and I didn't want to get in trouble. Then that's what we have to keep that in mind, because it doesn't help. And it hinders your relationships. It hinders your relationship with people and then relationship with God. Right? But I want to add to, I want to continue our discussion this week. I do have a discussion this week from this, and I want you all to continue with this because I really believe it's going to help. And it's part of the detoxing. You have to detox these small seeds. We talked about that last week, that become trees. So you have to almost like sweep your door, sweep your brain, sweep your mind, sweep your thought, sweep every corner to have seed that could potentially become trees and become good big fruit in your life that brings ugly results like sickness and death you know, poverty, all that stuff. So it's a benefit to be able to sweep those seeds, and every relationship is an opportunity for you to practice to do it right. Well, that was good. Somebody write that down. That was really good. That was an SOT right there. You know, that was God. That is an opportunity for you to practice to get it right. So when we say, oh, I'm not perfect, it's not even about perfect. It's using the tools for you to practice for you to get it right. Mm-hmm. Every relationship, everyone, everything, every circumstance, everything that happened in your life is an opportunity for you to do it right this time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you have no excuse why you're repeating these mistakes over and over again in your life, because you do have opportunity every second of your life to practice to do better.
Yeah.
Right? That's why you can't afford to linger on in the past, come out feeling sorry for yourself. You're missing opportunity to do better. You know? You were going to say something to Kenya.
I was going to say, I forgot to say that. I did go out and buy. I stopped being cheap.
Ooh, praise the Lord, everybody. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
I was using baking soda, so I went and bought the actual Tom's toothpaste, the organic toothpaste there. And also I found actually Arm & Hammer has a deodorant that doesn't have aluminum in it.
Wow.
So I did purchase that, and, you know, and I was so happy about it, and I bought. When I saw how cheap the brand was, I went and got two big bottles. But, you know, I will say, I have to know, from the brand, I used to, you know, have to have coffee because it was hard to sleep. But when I started taking the apple cider vinegar, it's like an energy. Like, wow,
I told
this
you.
Energy is amazing. And as well, I noticed, too, like through the daytime, it's hard for me to even try to even think of anything to eat because it's almost like my appetite is being curbed by this vinegar.
Exactly.
And as well, one more thing that just from what you just said, in reference to how people are actually, you know, tools to help us get it right every day, I noticed, I started from the last discussion, I started before I say anything now to people, automatically in my mind, since being aware in this particular class, immediately, I turn my eyes outside in.
Wow.
And I ask myself a question. And it's almost like I don't ask the question. I can hear my conscious mind make a statement. You do the same thing, just in another form.
Wow.
How can you correct that about you? And I don't say anything to anybody else about what they have done to me. And that's different from me because I have to give my two peas and a pepper on every situation. You know, but it's helping me. It really is helping me.
This is
really
beautiful.
It's helping.
You know what? Everything that we just said, especially what you just said, take us to the next subject. And the next subject is, are you being led somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
That is our next. That take us right in. Are you being led somewhere? I've always said, it took me a while. I can't see you. But it took me a while for me to fully understand what I said. I said there's a difference between a pastor and a leader. A pastor can be a leader. A leader can be a pastor. A leader can't be a pastor, but a pastor could be a leader. And I said that right. But a pastor can be a leader, but a leader can't be a pastor. So I've always said I'm not a pastor, I'm a leader. And that came from because a pastor feeds, it guards the sheep. It take care of the sheep in the fold until the sheep get mature enough to be able to exit, to go forth in life. And the church is supposed to be a revolving door. It's just that we got dysfunction in keeping people stay here till you die. But that wasn't God's intent. So the pastor was to feed and to take care of the sheep until you're ready to go out there to the world. And the leader is to lead the sheep somewhere. That's what. Give me a definition of mentor. What is a mentor? Google, give me a definition. What is the definition of a mentor?
A mentor is a leader, a teacher. A mentor is a person who takes you and leads you, takes you to places from
you,
where you are.
You're just repeating what I said.
Okay.
But what is a mentor? What is the definition of a mentor?
A mentor.
And it's okay if you don't know.
A mentor comes where you are and takes you to where you're supposed to be.
Okay, that's a good one. The definition of mentor is a wise counselor. Right? into wise counsel. What the Bible talked about that. Now I want to show you someplace. To have a mentor is to say that this mentor, this particular wise counselor, is leading me to another place. We say we want mentors, right? But we really don't want a mentor. We want a mentor, we don't want a mentor. What does that mean? I want to say that I have a mentor, but I really don't want a mentor. But a mentor leads you. Let me show you in the book of Proverbs, 15 chapter, 22nd verse says, without deliberation, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, wise counselor, exactly when God talked about wisdom, the world was created with wisdom. Wisdom says, I was there when God created the world. So exactly, I want to zero into who we're talking about. If we said a mentor is a wise counselor, what does that mean? And we're talking about wisdom. The word wisdom is the root word for womb in Hebrew. The word wisdom is the root word for womb. So we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about womb. We're talking about wisdom that was there before God spoke the world into existence, into manifestation. Were we able to see it? Wisdom was there. And that's why in Hebrew, even in the Bible, wisdom we call wisdom she. We said her, she, because the word womb is connected to wisdom. It births you out to the next place. So how can you live this world without the very thing that created this world? If wisdom was there with God, and mentor, leader, is a wise counsel, meaning that wisdom is still leading you, and it knows how to lead you since it was there in the beginning before life was created. So obviously wisdom already knows the path before you take it, because it was there from the beginning. Does that make sense? So every place in life, I'm going to show you an example. I was going to bring a pleated skirt. Everybody know what a pleated skirt looks like. A pleated skirt is almost like that's life. It looks like a little door, right? Life have those many doors, those many places as we were talking about. But God's system is to always have wisdom to lead you to each door. Somebody, remember I told y'all to watch Matrix. You had the key man. The key man had to go open the door for them to go to the next place. There's always somebody, wisdom always have the key to the next place. You will grab your mic. Yeah. Wisdom always, you have to come closer. Wisdom always, so when you over, I will let you speak first.
So,
go ahead, Monique.
So you are the key.
If I'm your mentor.
Well, yes, ma'am, you are my mentor.
Well, yes, I am the key. So do you understand? I want you to elaborate a little bit more, Pastor Gloria, on that as we go further. About, you know, that skirt, that door, each place in life, you have to be, you cannot go alone. And anybody that is successful, even in business, will tell you that. That they did no CEO, no founder, no one, they could tell you that they were led to this place. There was a key that opened the door to this place. It's just sometimes our mindset or where we come from, I would say the Western thinking, will have you to think that I could do it by myself, that I don't need nobody else. All I need is who? Jesus. But then what does that mean if wisdom was there from the beginning? What exactly is wisdom on earth? I'm going to take you somewhere, right? Wisdom, how can I see wisdom? How can I identify wisdom? Wisdom, womb. Wisdom, Yeshua. Wisdom, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. How can I identify it, and how does it work on earth? It has to work through somebody. It does not work through the atmosphere. It works through somebody. But we're always running away from wisdom. Yes, ma'am. Grab your mic.
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
My question is, a while back when we was in Irving, and I was running, but I was up under you, and I wanted to start school, and it wasn't time because I needed to be in a place at that time. And because I was needing to be in that place but didn't recognize it, because, you know, sometimes when God sent the word, if it don't drop out the sky, we're like, you know, it ain't God. So where I'm going is, because you are the key, you are the path, because you are my mentor. When I wanted to go to school, it wasn't time. But now, because you have that key and I'm sitting still and I'm learning up under you, because you are my mentor, my leader, now I can see that door getting ready to open up.
Would it have opened then?
Not into the extent that I think God wanted it to open up.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a stumbling block,
mm-hmm,
because I wasn't in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Now, I'm so glad you put that up. It says that I deny himself. Now, I'm going to use you as an example. It was a situation that she's awesome, gift, talented hairstylist, wanted to go to school. But at that time, I said, no, it's not time. But we don't like that, because it's like, I'm gifted, and why would I not? This is my thing. And forget that wisdom have wisdom. Okay, now, I don't know how plain I put that. Wisdom have its timing. There's a timing to go through each door. And at that time, what she felt like, wise counsel is not there for you to come and tell them what you're going to do. Like, you know, they just sit in a chair, tell us what you're going to do. All right, this is what I'm about to do. Okay then, baby, go ahead. That's not wise counsel. When you come in for wise counsel, you have to come with a teachable spirit to know that what my idea, the idea that I have may not be a good idea, may not be a timing idea, or may be missing something. So I'm open to hear the missing piece. But if you come in already prepared, your picture, you have the ability, the interest the hole for the key. You come in already, the door's already locked, you're not going to get anything. You understand? So, yes, at that time, I remember I said, no, this is not time. And then now, the time how it happened, I didn't even do that on my own, that the presence of God came in that moment. And you, when he knew you was ready, and you said what you needed to say at that time, I'm ready. And then it was almost like all the angels in heaven started singing and said, oh, yes, she's ready. And then now you're going to be able to, but you could have said, well, I could have went to school earlier and got my license. And I could have been sitting there waiting. But it was the whole idea of you listening to wisdom. Do you all understand? She needs the mic. She wants to say something.
That was a part of being disobedient, not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm out of that place where I don't want to be disobedient anymore.
You know what? That's wisdom right there. So sometimes you get too old to disobey. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you know what? I'm getting older. I'm not just realizing that I'm not getting younger. When you get to that point, and I tell my mentor that, Mr. Apostle Keenan Burgess, my God, not everybody could be mentored by this man of God, because he tell you the truth like you drinking apple cider with no water.
Ooh,
that's how the truth comes through here. But I'm so grateful I am so grateful for giving me that. I feel honored that God trusts me enough that I am in that level that I could handle that type of mentorship. Because sometimes you're just not in the level to handle the type of mentorship that you may want or that may be right in front of your face. You're not ready. Does that make sense? You have to be ready for a certain type of mentor. And I'm just grateful for God for that. But I know you have to say something. I want to read something to you. Proverbs 1st chapter, what it says about wisdom. It says, wisdom in turn will laugh at your distress and mock when terror comes over you. Yes, when terror overtakes you like a storm and your disaster approaches you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble assail you, then they will call on me, says wisdom, but I won't answer. They will seek me earnestly, but they won't find me. Now, y'all, does that sound familiar to you? Who said that before?
Mm-hmm.
Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear Adonai. They refused my counsel and despised my reproof. So they will bear the consequences of their own way and be overfilled with their own schemes. For the aimless wandering of the thoughtless will kill them. And the smug overconfidence of fools, that's pride, will destroy them.
Mm.
But those who pay attention to me, says wisdom, will live securely, untroubled by fear of misfortune. Poverty will pass by your house. I know certain things don't hit my house because of the wise counsel that I have in my life. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, some things don't even knock on my door. And one of them is poverty. They don't even knock, don't even, just keep, don't even try, don't even stop right here because of the type of wisdom that I have in my life. Now, not only the type of wisdom, the ability to hear and to follow and to implement the wisdom. Because you could hear it all day. I'm like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and walk away and still do what you want to do. But wisdom just told you they'll laugh at you when you fall. I said, let me let you bump your head. That's what's my favorite. I got that from my brother. Let you bump your head a few times. You come back with something. I'm like, yes, yes, ma'am, I'm ready to listen now. But you all understand. You was going to say something.
I as you were speaking and you were giving us the definition of wisdom being the room and a mentor means wise counsel. One of the key things that I kept hearing was the wrong counsel will lead you to the wrong door.
And
that wisdom should produce and bring forth life, not death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though I might feel like something in me is dying and killing me, the truth is the only thing that's dying are the things that's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Father? When you get godly counsel, wise counsel, it will continue to produce life even if it looked like the wind. The east wind just came through and ripped all my leaves off my tree. And so I'm sitting here thinking, oh, wisdom does not equal wise counsel because when we do not seek the Father, And allow the Father to connect us to the right person, to the right mentor. We, in our flesh, will attach ourselves to the people that we think we should be attached to. And for me, that just equals my death because now I'm going to get somebody's objective and their opinion. And that doesn't, let's just use this for example. Had I left because you weren't, let me have my way, let's just make it plain.
All right, now.
Because I couldn't get my way, I would have gone and attached myself to someone else and the wisdom that the Father may have given to them for their flock because I'm a sheep that belongs to another flock. I'm over here eating up all of this stuff, and it's not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I would have stayed in that place of discipline and training, then the simple thing would have worked. Whereas in over there, I'm thinking, well, you know, it's working for all 900 or 8 members. Why is it not working for me? Because I'm not in my place. Mm-hmm. I'm under the wrong skirt.
Mm-hmm.
So as you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, that's what's wrong with a lot of us.
And I'm glad you said because we have a tendency of blaming the place, that place that you're not functioning, you blame, oh, they must be this and they must not. But it's not them, it's you.
Is that what it is?
It's not them. And we keep blaming other people, blaming this place ain't no good, this place ain't growing, this place. It's enough for somebody else. You know, it's like being a high school 12th grader, but you want to sit in a 5th grader and then blame the teacher for the lesson. But they're teaching 5th grader. You're the one that decided to come to the 5th grade class. Don't blame the teacher. Don't get mad at the lesson. The lesson is not for you. It's for a 5th grader. You need to just get your butt up and go back to high school so you could graduate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, Miss Linda.
You know, when you said that, a light bulb went off because when I left, then I attached myself to this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went left as many times on my fingers as that I have. And for some reason, I just could not get into it. And I started with my in my session, you know, this. There's got to be more, and I know there's more, you know, but I'm just not getting anything here. So I've chosen to stay at home, and, you know, it's just not good, but I'm glad that I'm reconnected again.
Mm-hmm.
But I was literally dying for
mm-hmm.
not being fed, and then I had attached myself to this place, and, like, I was feeling like an outcast, kind of, and like I didn't belong there. So I chose not to go, even when I could have gone. And even now, it's like, yeah, I don't even want to bother to waste my time there.
And it's not anything wrong there.
Exactly.
It's because God has already given you your food,
mm-hmm.
and then you go out from the food and then say, I'm hungry. Remember, I always say, God give you the answer before the question.
Yes. Yes.
And the thing is, we don't understand that, and when we don't understand the answer, because the answer never looked like where you are. The answer looks like where you're going. So we identify with the answer where I am and say, well, where I am yellow, this answer look red. So I don't need this red. I need something yellow. But you're about to walk into yellow. So you need the yellow because it's going to answer your yellow question.
Yeah.
And that's what we make mistake because God does not deal with where you are. He always deals with your future, where you're going. He does not identify where you are. Yes, sir.
And as we know, we can't see our future.
Ah.
God has given someone with eyes to direct us.
Ah.
So it reminds me of what you speak about when you talk about the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a proven fact that God made us to be dependent on one another,
mm-hmm.
and especially he's given us leaders according to his calling.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think that, you know, so many times we'll get into this place of where we feel like we want to be mentored. But the truth is if you're just so disobedient, if you be for real with yourself, you don't want nobody to tell you what to do because you're grown.
Amen.
But when you realize that you're losing time,
yes.
that you could have one foot in the grave, but there's instructions back in someone's belly to get you out.
Right.
But we still be disobedient. So that's what I think about now.
I want to say something, as you said, I love that. The word just came to me when the people said, I'm grown enough to follow the instruction that's given to me. That's where I'm grown at. I'm grown enough to sit down and listen. I'm grown enough to have a teachable spirit. So when we say we're grown, that's so dysfunctional because you're grown enough to disobey. Does that make sense? I should be even, but I'm going to wait till you say your statement first.
Well, I wanted to expose a lion spirit.
Go ahead, expose.
Because when I made a statement earlier about wrong counsel, wrong door, and I have to be honest and say this. For some of us, don't try to put those shoes on, because the truth is we didn't want to submit to the instruction and the wisdom of the wise counsel we were put under.
Mm-hmm.
So we flip it on our own leader and say there must be something wrong with them because I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting. And that's why I said I wanted to expose that lying spirit, because some of us are exactly where we're supposed to be. And the council is wise.
Amen.
The council is the Father.
Yes.
They will birth us where we're supposed to be. It's not the leader. It's us.
Exactly.
And I wanted to say that as a Talmudim. I wanted to say that as a mentee. I wanted to say that as a leader in training. When we are leaders in training, you feel a student in the presence of your leader.
Exactly.
You don't ever put your leader hat on in the presence of your leader.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in me that says, shut that down, because I know I was guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody else to continue to think that it's okay. It's not. You got to expose that lying spirit in you first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just want to, you know, open the door.
And I'm glad. And I just want to add to that. We do know there's a lot of leaders out there. We know that, that need to be led and stop leading people. Because if you don't have the ability to be led, you shouldn't be leading anybody. Go ahead, sir.
I have to testify. See, I have to say, you know.
Testimony service.
This is what I realized about one of the things that, Rabbi, that you have said before, Dr. Josue, many times you said before, that you have to be willing, you have to want to stay there. Because I have to say, it hasn't been easy, but it's been good for me. It's been good for me. I've seen, you know, several people come in through the mentorship, you know, and I watch them. They say, "Oh, this is my mentor. This is my mother." And I said, "Lord have mercy. I hope they got what it takes to stay, because this is not a place that's gonna patty cake you. This is a place that's gonna provoke you to change." And so I noticed that even throughout, I have to say, you know, you specifically have the ingredients for us to change if we just listen and follow those instructions. But I've noticed throughout that, even how there were times I know in the ministry where there was a time when people were like, "Oh, I want to do my ministry. Oh, I want to do this. I want to have my business." And I've watched them go to a certain point to where, boom, they're gone, because it's like, "Oh, we can't do our ministry. We can't." But God didn't know that we got down the road to a point to where you had begun to release us into the things that God had called us to do in our lives. And because at one point in time, we were not there. But I just said it to say that you have to, as you said so many times, you have to want to be led to be in it. But you have to want that. And I think that that's one of the major things. And you see people probably go out of, in and out of different ministries. But I must say, Dr. Josue is a place, if you want to change, you can seek her online, because she will help you get to that place.
Amen. Caused me to be speechless right now. Well, I appreciate, because my goal is to see us grow from one place to another. It bothers me. I have a passion that it bothers me to see people in the same way, the same place all the time, but talk about how they want to grow. And maybe that passion came from watching even my father. Maybe that passion came from because my father was a man that I know that was, he was actually a prophet and didn't know it. He was a man with a lot of dreams and passion and never had an opportunity to implement those dreams and passion. And I watched my father die with those dreams and passion in him. And I watched him be in the same place and wanting to come out and didn't know how to come out. That it could be where that came from inside of me, that I want you to come out from where you are and express the image of God. And I believe not only my physical father, but my spiritual father, my father, my heavenly father, gave me a love and a passion to want to exercise or to implement, exemplify his image on earth. So when that come from, so now from that point, then I had to find out, what is your image? Because this, I was a missing piece when I look at my life, and then I said, okay, you created me at your image, and it does not match. Because I know you, I can't say that you are God, the creator of the universe, and so much more than we not able to fathom in our own mind. To be that Elohim, the creator, and say that I'm created after your image, and I'm watching my life, does not match yours. that was enough passion to get at his feet to say, teach me, what is your image, and how do I live according to that image on earth? And that's what that passion is birthed for everybody, that where you are, you don't have to be there. You don't have to stay there. There's so much more potentials that you were birthed with, that you could be so much more than what you have settled to be. You settled in this place, but it's not the place where God will have you to be. That you have to have the hunger, the desire not to want to settle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that passion, I think, boiled inside of me to say, God empowered me, teach me so I could teach others to get out of that place. And how? And then here's my thing. I don't want you to get out of that place to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So a true leader leads you out of a place to make sure you never return to that place ever again.
Yeah.
So that's called process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people left, because they don't like process. People like microwave overnight. Microwave overnight make you come back.
Yeah.
You ever heat food in a microwave and it gets cold real fast if you don't heat it?
Yeah.
But if you heat it in the stove, it stay hot longer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a perfect example. Yeah.
Oh, that's why I would say I don't want my food microwave.
But, you got to hurry up and eat it.
But two things are. For me, being under the mentorship or the leadership, it's hard to, because I've seen it happen in the ministry here, that I see them come and go, and I just know it from an act of not wanting to submit. You know, just the pride of the man won't bow down to the instruction and follow, and hat off to those that have you know, stayed in the place and made it. And I wish many more would come and follow suit, you know, to do that, because the second part of this is, from what I've gained out of it, is that being under the mentorship and the authority of being in the right place, it makes you whole all around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just from the biblical realm, which is the most important, but it helps in the way of life and your day-to-day business. And God opened doors for us, you know, by being in that right place and following, you know, the instruction, the wisdom that he gives, the wisdom that he's imparted into me through you, that I make the right decision and do the right thing. You know, I took a class we did a couple of years ago back with you, the mentorship class, yes. And in that class, I used to always have that problem of not charging people the right price. You know, it's like I had a problem with receiving my money.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I felt like I wasn't supposed to have it. But from that class, I just, hey, give it to them. This is the price. Tell them they pay it or they don't. If they don't pay it, you don't have to do the service for them. They don't want it, you know. And guess what? Business increased tremendously because of that, you know, because I just tell them, if this is what I charge per hour, this is what the job costs, so you don't want it, all right, see you later.
This is so God. Let me tell you why. As you were speaking, I said, oh, my Lord, that wisdom that I pass on to you, I got that wisdom from my mentor,
right?
Because I used to have the same problem too. And so after he mentored me to give me that wisdom, now I'm able to pass on that same wisdom to you. Oh, my God, this is a lineage of the blessing. Oh, my God, that was right on the money. That's the reason why a leader have to be led, because whatever you are taught from your leader, you're able to lead and teach others. Because nobody's not teaching you anything. You just want to teach what you're teaching them. Because nobody's not leading. My leader making sure, believe me, I have to be submissive and I have to listen. Because he tell me, if you don't listen to me, I'm not going to mentor you. Plain, believe me, the rope that I give y'all, I don't have that rope.
Yeah.
It's like you got to listen or you out. It's beautiful. So to keep me in that place, to keep me in the standard, to give me integrity as a leader, then I'm able to lead you better. Ain't that beautiful? Oh, my God. That was just so right on the money. Oh, my. Okay. I do have another scripture I want to bring to you. We're not up for commercial, are we? Okay, great. That
I want to show you about legal, how God's system is created, that he doesn't, he gives you, he deal with his people on earth to lead you. Remember Paul, we all know about Shaul and Paul, right? Remember what Acts 22, when he went through the I want to say the, I don't want to say that word until class, but he went through that revelation moment to be in the face of God that brought about transformation in his life. We all know that he fell off his horse and all this stuff, right? Now, listen to what the Lord have. I don't know if y'all could get your Bibles, Acts 22, what he said. Now, Shaul said, I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord, after the transformation, now what? That's what that means. And the Lord said to me, get up and go unto Damascus. And I got to show you the door of Damascus when y'all go to Israel with me. Absolutely awesome. And there will be told about everything that has been laid out for you to do. There will be told. He didn't tell. The Lord could have just told him.
Yeah.
But he said, no, they will be told what will be, and they'll tell you what you need to do. But God could have told him right there and then, since he was already speaking to him.
Right.
And before I go any further, that's what I want. Now, you go to your prayer closet, you say, well, God gave me this, God gave me that. God, did God really give you all of that? Because while he was talking to him, he didn't give him the instruction, all the instruction he needed. He said, go to this place, they'll give you the rest of the instruction. Oh, God. And then verse 12 says, a man named Hananiah, an observant follower of the Torah, who was highly regarded by the entire Jewish community there, 13 says, came to me, stood by me and said, Brother Shaul, see again. Now, he was blind, right? He couldn't see. Why God didn't open up his eyes? But he had this Jewish observant man to come to him to say, see again. So that means his sight came from someone else to say, see again. Tell me what you don't understand. Tell me, come on. Let the question flow. Let the question flow. Yes, sir. I'm not even finished yet, but let the question flow.
Okay, so because, yes, God could have given him all that and gave him his sight, but would it be that man would have to believe when someone of his equal bring it to him?
Repeat that again.
You know, yes, God could have given him his sight and could have told him all that he wanted, but he sent him to another human of his equal, because he know now that it wasn't the voice he heard out, but he, God told him what they were going to tell him, so now he received it better.
That's one level. That's one level. But the other level is, that is true, but the other level is that the system that God used, that God didn't just tell him, he sent him to another person, mentor, because that's what he was to him, to say, now go get the rest of your instruction from this believer, from this Jewish guy, from this Torah observant person, this. Did you all understand?
Yes,
go ahead, sir.
I don't want to take all their questions. You know, it seems like I remember hearing this somewhere. Well, there was a scripture, and I don't know it right now, but it says, lest you think more highly of yourself.
Yes. And you will never do that, because he will always leave you needing somebody to lead you.
Yes.
Remember that pleated skirt? Somebody, each pleat, there's a leader to lead you to the door. You can't just go, I move over. God told me to go through this door. But in each level that I've been in my life, God always led me to a leader or someone that have authority over that rim, to even give me authority to come into that place. Does that make sense? You can't just walk into a room like, you know, I see some people get in the face, well, all of a sudden they're a pastor. Who made you a pastor? All of a sudden they're rabbis now. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that on air. Oh, Lord, we can't edit that one. It's just all of a sudden that the coach is big thing now. Everybody's a coach. Nobody paid no price. Nobody went to training. Nobody went to school. Nobody went to submit to any type of leader who has that authority over that realm. Nobody. They just decided to change their title and said, this is why, because the Lord said.
You don't do that. Does that make sense? Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know what? It makes more sense to me now. I was thinking about in the ITC class when you used to tell us if you don't, you know, if you don't come through the front door, if you come through the back door instead of following, you know, the you know, just doing everything in order. It reminds me of the ITC class. You said that you are a thief and a robber if you don't come through the door right.
Exactly.
So it reminds me of that, and I think sometimes we get so deluded in our thought because when we are adhere to that in the world system, when we get to the church and lose all our senses, as if, you know, hey, well, I can just go here and do that, but you can't go be a doctor unless you go to school. So it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Josue, we are getting ready. I have an announcement to make, and then we're going to go to commercial. But I want to use your term where you say put a pin right there because we're going to come back to that. Because something that just jumped out at me right as we get ready to go into this, Shaul, educated, new Torah, still needed a mentor.
Exactly.
Walking in the Word, still needed a mentor. All right. Now, with that note, before we go to commercial, on July the 25th will be our next session. It's going to be located at 1515 North I-35 on I-35 East in DeSoto. Now, the course is going to start at 11 a.m. It's at the Clarendon Hotel. Please call us and register at 214-637-1400 or send us an email at houseofstudy@josueenterprises.com. We'll be right back after this commercial. Oh, what you won't hear on the commercial is this, let me tell you. For the month of July, we have a very special offer for Sweep Your House and Sweep Your Soul. It will change and impact your life in ways you've been expecting God to do and couldn't get there for only $10 each. They're normally $15 each. Please, by all means, get one for yourself, get one for your friend, get one for your frenemy, because the truth is, if you get over your flesh, they won't be your enemy anymore. There it is. And Sweep Your Soul will help you reach that point. Get one for both, yourself and them. All right? Don't forget, if you don't have your friends logged in, have them to join us right now. Okay. So, Dr. Josue, since I took up all of that time for the commercial man, let's just jump right back into that because I am at a place right now. I will pass the mic, I promise. I am at a place right now where wisdom is telling me to wait. I do not care what I have been promised. I do not care what prophecy I have received until I get the green light from my Father through my leader. I'm going to be sitting right here. I'm going to wait this thing out because wisdom tells me you go out there, you're going to get your head chopped off because you failed to complete your process in a timely fashion. So now I don't know what the wisdom and direction, I don't know how much I have to repeat. I don't know what I have to do over. Because I missed my timing then, don't make it my time right now. So I'm going to wait this one out.
And I'm so glad. I know, Monique, I want to say something. When I read different books and I read millionaires that have made it to their status, they're writing books on the process they had to go through to get where they are. They're writing books saying that we don't understand where this fast-paced want to be successful overnight come from, because that's not the way old money come from. New money doing that, new money you don't keep it. Old money says you have to go through process to get there. So if the millionaires, the people that are successful, are writing books about process, and they're telling us about getting your character made, and they're telling us about be sure you're ready when the opportunity doors are open, they're saying all of that. So if they made it in telling us the path that you have to go through, the process of being mentored to that place, character refining, to be ready to be able to handle what you're asking for. Now, we're in the place where we want to get there. Why would we not listen to the same examples or the same teaching that they are giving it, you're getting? Why would you not listen?
My goodness.
do you all understand? So, if anybody have any question, please don't hesitate to hit. I think it's pound one.
And all of you that's listening, I just really want to say thank you. And I'm grateful that you're taking time out to listen to our discussion. And our discussion is real discussion. It's not, nobody don't even know what the next really discussion is going to be. But we talk about real stuff that's bothering us, answers to real questions in our lives. And we're being held accountable once you get the wisdom on it for you to implement it in your life. You can't go home and come back next week and did not, nothing bothers you or convicted you where you're making some kind of growth from the things that you're listening, from the things that you're hearing. So I want to thank anybody that's listening online. We just want to acknowledge you and say thank you for taking the time out to listen. Let's give them a hand. But Monique, you had a question.
Well, yes, ma'am. I wanted to piggyback from my two brothers and my sister. I mean, they summed it right on up to what I was going to say, that not only do we cheat ourselves, I mean, not just steal it from God, but we steal it from ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't walk straight through that front door and try to go around to the back door, we just have messed up our destination from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Because walking straight through the front door is an answer,
mm-hmm,
waiting on the other side of the door.
Mm-hmm.
But because we, as Western mindset, because we do think we are grown and we don't have a teachable spirit, a lot of people misread God's word. He said that we are always supposed to be talented. I don't care how old we are, we are always supposed to have a teachable spirit. Not only that we're supposed to have a teachable spirit, but we're supposed to be wise to his word. And when he sends a jewel in front of us, and we don't know it's a jewel, don't know that it's carrying our wisdom, it's basically like we just killed ourselves.
Exactly. Slowly. Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Okay? Slowly but surely. We have a question online.
I have a comment, Doctor.
We are ready for the question.
I have a comment.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, you have a comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Joshua, I hope I'm saying the right, Rabbi. I just want to say thank you for the enlightening words tonight. I'm in New York City listening to your call and to your broadcast. And I want to say thank you for the process. The meaning of the word process, it takes time. It does not microwave, like you said, the microwave that works fast, but God's words is a process. So I want to say thank you. Well, that's a good thought for me tonight.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Oh, my God. That is so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure here when the teaching is effective, because that's my core of teaching. If it's not effective, I'm going to sit down. It has to be effective. So to hear that is food for me. That's how I get my food. To hear how is it affecting you, how are you growing from it, that's how I grow. That's how I get fed and nourished. So I appreciate that, sir. And even to hear a man say that, because that's always been my thing with men, that if God give me wisdom, it have nothing to do with my womanhood. My womanhood belongs to my husband. But my spirit is the one that have the call that's giving you the wisdom.
So to look
at my womanhood is like really cheating. You're looking through the window where my husband is looking.
Mm. Yeah.
You should just be looking at my spirit, which have no gender.
Wow.
God bless you.
So next time somebody say something about a woman, then you could tell them, say, hey, you're looking through a window. That's not your business. That womanhood belonged to the husband. So I appreciate even every man, even I've been through my classes, the mentorship, I really appreciate that you're able to see the wisdom of God, the spirit that's carrying the call, that have no gender, to be able to still see God, to be able to be fed by what God is saying through my spirit, not my womanhood. So I appreciate that. I thank God for you, men.
You're very welcome.
Can we also remind everybody about the book that you just recently wrote, The Prophet versus the Prophetess? It is a must. It is a must. It will set you free in so many areas of your life. Don't just get it for yourself. Buy a copy. put it in your car because, you know, somebody's going to want to read it, pick it up and take it with them, and then you'll have your backup copy at home. I believe in always buy two. Just buy two. Bless somebody. Buy, yes. I'll say amen. I'll buy another one. Dr. Josue.
But I am, well, we're going to continue to finish this discussion because I'm not finished yet because there's so much more wisdom into that that's going to help us. So I want to give the blessing to thank you for everybody for coming in. Everybody that's been listening, please come to the class. This is a door for everybody. May Adonai bless you and keep you. May Adonai shine his countenance upon each and every one of you and give you his peace and declare that this word will be effective, but the word will bring growth in your life. And I speak the shalom peace over you and your household in Yeshua's name. Amen.
You tuned in to the best Blog Talk Radio Show with Rabbi Hannah Josue.
Do it, do it.